This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Wednesday, the 18th of March, 2015, and my name is Patrick Smith. Well, it was a difficult weekend for the Belfast Giants. So much optimism going into the weekend and so much to talk about coming out of it. The post-mortem of a weekend against the Nottingham Panthers coming right up. Davey and Coach will be along just in a moment. And a few harsh words are thrown around. It's not for the faint-hearted. We'll also be chatting with David Sims after day one of his walking challenge on behalf of Amy Usher and the Weston Park Cancer Unit. Well worth tuning into that. And despite the Belfast Giants not being in the race for the Elite League title, it is an exciting weekend up ahead. We talk about all the different permutations because it isn't as clear cut for the Brayhead clan as we may have thought a number of weeks ago. We'll also, of course, be looking forward to this last weekend of games of the regular season for the Belfast Giants against the Coventry Blaze and away to the Fife Flyers. You get in contact with us, podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com, at AVFTB on Twitter, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast is our website, and soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all of our interviews and all the other stuff besides. But not that many shows left to do, so cue the music. Well, we went into last weekend full of optimism and came out with something a little different besides. So here to talk about it. We read about him going through the different stages of grief this week in his article for kingdomofthegiants.com, and that's our good friend David McGimsey. How are you doing now, mate?
Paddy, I go through those stages almost on a daily basis now. At any one time, I can be at anywhere along that ladder of grief, but at the minute, I'm just depressed.
Good article besides. And also, join us a man whose views you could have heard quite forthrightly on the webcast in the last 10 minutes of that game on Sunday that I listened back to. TV's Neil, the Coach Russell. How you doing, mate?
Hi, Paddy. Hi, Davey. Yes, the final 10 minutes of that was of the webcast. It was like a counselling session between Sis and I.
Not
I
mean, half.
Our tone wasn't so much aggressive. It was just so... Yeah, the two of us, I think, entered a state of depression in the final 10 minutes of that game.
Resigned to the fate. Resigned to
the
fate.
Yes, very much so.
Well, then let's talk about that, Jets. No better way than to deal with this depression than to actually just talk it through. We'll take each game as it stands. On Saturday night and on Sunday afternoon, we'll start with Saturday night. On Saturday night, the Belfast Giants took on the Nottingham Panthers at the Odyssey Arena. It was subject to a 3-2 shootout defeat. Goals for the Giants come from Peacock and Ray Sawada, scoring with 20 seconds left in regulation. The Panthers' goals came from a man whose name you'll hear quite a bit over the next 20 minutes or so, Guillaume Doucette, shorthanded, and Boxall, with Higgins getting the decisive penalty shot after overtime. Davey, I'll start with you. I actually think the game itself was pretty good. Standard, it was pretty end-to-end to begin with. Big capacity crowd at the Odyssey, and it's credit to the organisation. And the Giants took the lead through Peacock. But after that, the Nottingham Panthers started to take a little bit of control.
Yeah, I thought, you know, if you want to take the positives, I leave them first. I thought the first 20, 25, almost 30 minutes, we were, you know, probably the better team. We hit everything that seemed to move. We came out with that forecheck of ours. We just didn't get enough on Kowalski. 12 shots on him in the first period, and we got a bit of rubber on, but just with lacking that quality that we have over the last number of weeks, stroke months, you know, we're talking about trying to put a 60-minute game together, and someday we will, but, you know, at the minute we can't put a 60-minute game together, and we're not getting enough quality on netminders, and teams of good quality are going to have their part of the game where they're going to be in the ascendancy, and that ended up happening with the Panthers. They took their chances. You know, we went ahead, pegged back, and credit to the team for digging out the game time goal and getting it to overtime. But really, you know, it's been a bit of a story of the last few months that we just have not been good enough in front of net. It's been a grind. It's been hard to watch at times, and it's just, you know, we've both talked there myself and Coach have both talked about being depressed. There's just that air of depression around the team at the minute that it's just we just can't get ourselves up to these big games.
Coach, we'll talk about the incidents regarding the netminding for the Nottingham Panthers in a second, but talking about the goal scoring for the Panthers, two goals within 40 seconds sort of just, you know, put them really in the ascendancy, really put the wind behind their sails. And Doucette scoring a shorthanded goal within the dying seconds of Cody Wilde's penalty was just, you know, it wasn't something we were going to see just once this weekend, unfortunately, but it really gave them momentum.
Yeah, how many times have we talked about this season about getting caught out on special teams? You know, our penalty kill just hasn't been as good as it certainly has been over the past couple of seasons. But we got caught out shorthanded throughout the course of the weekend. Guillaume Doucette obviously catching us out. And yeah, it just seems, Paddy, that everything that we try just isn't really clicking here at all. At the minute, and you know, I look at the shots on goal in this game. I mean, we outshot the Panthers over the course of this game, 35-29. You know, I think Davey's right. You know, we had some excellent opportunities in the early stages of that game. I can remember Sawada on a couple of occasions. You know, he'll want those efforts back, no question about it. But I know I've mentioned this on quite a few occasions on the podcast. And it's something that Sizz and I chuckle about now, and you'll have heard it listening back on the webcast from the weekend. I mean, how many times have Sizz and I throughout the shot coming in and high and wide on the goaltender? I mean, yeah. It literally has become a ding. So it has on the webcast because it has been so symptomatic of our season. We are creating opportunities, but we just are not finishing them. We're not been lethal enough in front of goal. And, high and wide is nearly what I would call this season. If I was to be asked for a slogan for this season, high and wide is it for me.
One of the real indictments, Davey, of that game, and credit to the player, but not so much to the Belfast Giants, is there was an incident involving Kowalski and Kevin Westgarth that actually put Dan Green in goal. In the 17 minutes and 58 seconds that he was in goal, he only faced 7 shots and he saved 6 of those. Now, before we come to that, the incident between Kowalski and Westgarth has put Kowalski out, a broken collarbone, I believe, and that's the end of his season, possibly the end of his career with the Nottingham Panthers. That's yet to be decided, I suppose. But a lot of people pointing fingers at Westgarth, but it was more or less an accident.
I think when you look back at the video, yes, he was steaming in to try and retrieve a puck. You know, Kowalski plays that game. He's out of his net a lot. He's around at the boards trying to field the puck. And I'm not saying goalies should be fair game in that situation, but, you know, it's not like he's hit him right in front of the net. He's hit him round behind the net accidentally. There's no way Westgarth hasn't hit anybody on purpose this season, so I don't think he's going to hit a goalie. You know, I say that with a bit tongue-in-cheek, obviously, but, you know, I do think he loses the edge as he goes in. He's coming in at that pace. He loses an edge, and it's very unfortunate for Kowalski. Obviously, we don't like to see, we're all from a sporting background. Yeah. Don't want to see anybody hurt. We wish him well. We wish him a speedy recovery.
I think from a personal note, when I saw it, I thought it was a bit of I thought he'd slew-footed him or something like that. I come from the other side, Davey. I actually think that sometimes the netminders take a few liberties outside of their crease, and sometimes you do have to buzz them. In this case, it was obviously an accident. You don't want to see a guy get injured. But in the same way that if a player enters the crease, I think he's open game to for a good slashing by the netminder. If the netminder wants to come out and play the puck, sometimes they have to face what the other players face. Again, as I say, I think I reacted a bit too quickly on the night, thinking it was Kowalski getting involved. But I feel sorry for the fact that he's taken an injury in this case, Coach.
Well, before Coach goes, sorry, Coach, I just want to butt in there while it's in my head. Kowalski has it in him, as we've seen many, many occasions, any or no contact round about him when he's out there, let's call it simulation if you like, he'll take a dive. He does it plenty. He did it in Nottingham against Kiefer.
He had a whack at Kiefer, didn't he?
Kiefer skated past him and he's gone off his feet and drew the penalty, fair enough. That's his game. Not in this instance. Westgarth clipped him a wee bit. Westgarth actually 10-pinned him, like he absolutely hammered him, but as I said before, I don't think there was any intent at all on Westgarth's behalf. But you know, Kowalski is a goalie, a bit like in the mould of a And Marty Brugier, you know, he's somebody that likes to get out there and play the puck as quick as he can. He's probably the best in the league at it.
Coach, your thoughts on the incident?
Yeah, a definite accident for me. I mean, I just don't see any venom in Big West Garth whatsoever. I don't just see that side of him at all. So, yeah, he blew a tire. And I mean this genuinely, you know, sadly has injured a top-class goaltender. And I think most people are under the impression that this could be Kowalski's last season as a pro hockey player, certainly maybe with Nottingham anyway. And it would be a sad note for such a top-class netminder. Somebody who has led Nottingham, much to our discontent, over the years, did a lot of championships. And it's a sad one, but a definite accident. But just going back to your point there about how long did you say Dan Green was in goal for? 17
minutes and 58 seconds. Faced seven shots, of which he saved six.
Paddy, that is criminal. And Sis and I both said it in the webcast. Like, we did not show anywhere near enough urgency whenever Dan Green went in the nets. We did not get anywhere near enough rubber on him. It was criminal. Absolutely criminal, in my opinion. We just didn't try to upset him in any way. We lacked fluency all of a sudden. I mean, it was strange. You know, we often hear it, don't we, whenever the backup netminder goes in net and all of a sudden a team come together defensively to try and safeguard that guy going into the goal, because I know he's not a Craig Kowalski or a Stephen Murphy. But I'm afraid we just didn't show enough urgency to get enough rubber on him at all. It was hard to watch, to be honest.
Davey?
Can't add really anything to that. We had opportunities in and around the net. We hit the outside of a post. He's made a kick save. You know, we've had opportunities and we just were kept to the outside, forced to the outside by Nottingham. You know, at what stage do you credit the other team with good D over criticising your own team for poor offence? You know, it's we didn't get enough rubber on him. That's about the height of it. You know what? In that situation, I think Coach says it a lot on the podcast. You know, put the puck on net and good things happen. And, you know, we just didn't get to, we ended up getting the goal from that situation where we got the puck in there and we just crashed back and wallop and we got the goal. You know, there just wasn't enough of it. It's not for lack of effort. It was just for a bit of a lack of application.
One of the other incidents from that game came towards the end, an incident between Ray Sawada and Charles Landry. The incident being reviewed pretty quickly by Dops. Hey, guess what? Dops still exist. They're still around. And actually, it happened very, very quickly in time for the next game. Dops assessed him a major 5 plus game misconduct for checking to the head under rule 1-2-4. And give him a 2-game suspension. It was said a check to the head, and Sawada sustained an injury in play. Landry didn't play the next game. Did either you guys notice the incident or have seen it since?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
So I watched it because they give a few slow-mo replays on the webcast on the night. It was a clash of heads as opposed to a check to the head. It was very clearly helmet to helmet. Now, I haven't seen whether Dops have put a video out yet or not.
They haven't.
You know, that is what it was. Landry hasn't came in and hit him with a stick, shoulder or anything. To me, it was a clear helmet on helmet. And unfortunately, Sawada has came off worse in that instant because he's barreling down on goal. His head's down. He hasn't seen the hit coming from Landry, who's caught him in the head. Intent's a very, very difficult thing to ascertain in a situation like that. For me, I don't think Landry meant to go head to head with him. That's how it's ended up. And, you know, Dops have come up with just a 1-game ban, was it?
2-game suspension.
Two-game suspension, you know. I would need to see, and again, I'm calling that back from a one replay on the game on the night. To me, it looked head to head, and that's a difficult situation, you know.
Let me take your opinions, first of all, Coach, on the penalty shots. A lot of people talking about them in the bar after the game and about, you know, okay, going up against Dan Green, and the people that we chose for the penalty shots are maybe people that you thought should have scored them for the Belfast Giants, with Robinson, Compon and Evan Chevrey, and none of them put them in the back of the net.
No. I think it was Sis called that one. Dan Green with a superb poke check on Nathan Robinson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw some conjecture on social media asking why Craig Peacock wasn't one of the penalty takers, but it's hard to argue. Who'll ever forget Evan Chevrey's famous penalty shot to win us a playoff championship over in Nottingham? A few seasons ago, Mike Compan has been successful on the penalty shot. Okay, he's pulled out the same move pretty much on every occasion, but like he's been reasonably successful at it. He's talking about Mike Compan. I mean, he's had a very quiet last month or so, hasn't he, in our colours? But yeah, you would be expecting our guys to be putting the puck past Dan Green. And that sounds so disrespectful, doesn't it? You'd be expecting at least a goal out of the boys. I mean, it's... once it gets down that stage, but it's a lucky dip. And we know that whenever you get down to penalty shots. And yeah, we just come out on the wrong side of it again.
And Davey, I think the Panthers fans will relish the fact that it was Chris Higgins that scored the winner.
Yes, shoot the puck is what I would be saying. You know, we talked about it with a penalty shootout earlier in the season in Nottingham, didn't we? And was it Sandrock or Elfring has maybe came in and just slammed it from the slot? You know, Robinson's made an awful lot of moves, give him the time to have the stick check. Comp on again, you know, that's comp on 3 for 7, still good stats on the shootout this season, you know. Making the same move, I don't know whether the goalies know that, and you know, Green stood, kept the pad stacked and hasn't been able to get. Chevy made the same move, but you know, Chevy was 1 for 2 before, or 1 from 3. One from two. Mm-hmm. Going into that, it was a great move. Was it Sheffield he scored the winning penalty shot against earlier in the season with exactly the same move? And unfortunately, he just hasn't toe-dragged it enough. It's one of those things. We're talking a matter of inches here, and that's in the back of net, because Green's on his backside, and Chevy's an empty net to shoot in. It's just it's a game of inches, and unfortunately, it was all set up for Chris Higgins to go in there, and he got two back caught in his line and managed to roof it up over the glove and take a win. And I think he enjoyed pointing to the Nottingham Panthers fans. The Giants fans had been giving him the bird all night, so I think he he would have enjoyed that one.
He was receiving boos all night. I'm sure he enjoyed that. Let's move on to Sunday, gents. Again, the Nottingham Panthers, the opposition. Unfortunately, a 5-1 defeat for the Belfast Giants. The Giants' goal came from Craig Peacock, while the Panthers' goal, well, it was a hat-trick for that man, Doucette, all on special teams, two of which shorthanded, one of which on the power play, Jacina and Wild scoring the final goal. And I'm just going to mark down the time here, which is 17:32. I'm going to say, Davey, the performance was...
Are you keeping that in?
I'm going to bleep it.
All right, okay. Yeah, like there's not an awful lot that you can say about this. We were beaten 4-0 by Nottingham earlier in the season, and that hurt like hell. And I was hoping, and I said it last week in the show, that you know there was a bit of revenge, not just for the 22nd of October 2002, but for that 4-0, you know, scoreline earlier in the season in our barn, and to be beat by 4 goals again. We have given Guy Doucette three shorthanded goals over the weekend. You know, power play shorthanded, and you know that's the goals on the Sunday afternoon game. We lost. Was it the third period 4-0?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one period of hockey. It was a case of give up. We made basic mistakes and we got smoked. Doucette absolutely smoked us for pace on the back end, and it's just a real frustration with me at the minute now with our team. It's starting to get that point where I look down this list of players that we have, and they are so good on paper, and they are not performing at the minute. And I'm sure some of them are absolutely beyond frustrated to try and get this out onto the ice, but we just aren't doing it. And you know, we now have the weekend coming up with games against Coventry and Fife, and bang, we're in a playoff situation. It's troubling. I know you're giggling there, Coach, because we're saying it week on week. This has to be the weekend. And Nottingham give us the opportunity there for a platform to go on to something, and we just didn't take Sunday by the horns at all. Saturday night we came out and we hit everything in yellow that moved, and on Sunday night we just came out as flat as a pancake Tuesday recipe.
Coach, some of the statistics, I'm looking at that game from Sunday afternoon, and you know, to be outshot 40-28 at home by the Nottingham Panthers is unacceptable.
Totally, man. emotions sometimes run high, don't they, after games, especially whenever you lose and you're going through a bit of a slump and what have you. And I suppose this season has been a difficult season all round, for many different reasons. And social media erupted, didn't it, on Sunday evening. And you know what? For once, I felt that it was justified, because that performance on Sunday was shocking. It was shocking. Saturday, no question about it. Davey's right. We came out and hit. We played a pretty good game. Still off what I deem to be our capabilities. As Davey said again, looking down at our team, what can it offer? I mean, I'm surprised actually to see it on the agenda. Maybe it has. I'll flick through it very quickly here. No, it's not. I mean, the decision on, for McCutcheon not to play.
Well, I was going to bring that up, but yes. Okay. But go ahead.
I'm happy to take this one, because I have been probably, out of the three of us, his number one critic throughout the course of the season. But it was something that the three of us talked and were massively encouraged about last week, was the McCutcheon-Sawada-Robinson line.
Yep.
And Steve has talked extensively about trying to find line chemistry. You know, that Keith Lloyd-Compton line did it for a good while. We needed to find that second line that was going to click. We found it, or we certainly appeared to find a line that was clicking. And then all of a sudden, McCutcheon's out. Now, I've no idea. Like, I watched him in warm-up. He was skating around like the wind, so he was in warm-up. So, and obviously, Kiefer played ahead of him, who 47 didn't play on the Saturday night. So, I mean, we're tinkering with our lines still. And just lacking that overall chemistry. And I mean, it's just Sunday was a really tough one to take for me. I have to say, it was one off the, as I said, sorry, I'm going back on myself here slightly, but as I said, whenever you can get caught up in the moment on occasions, you know, as Chris Revel said at the ABFTB Live, we all live this every single day. It's our passion. It's our club. We care and love that our club to the friggin' stars and back. But for me, looking back on it a couple of days later, I still think it was one of the worst and most depressing games for me as a Belfast Giants fan in 15 seasons.
Talking
of 15 seasons, you know, and you've players like Calvin Alfred coming out and saying it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, that's a big statement for a guy of the, you know, the sort of the veteran leadership of the, but that tells you what the room's feeling like. They're feeling
David,
embarrassed.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? It's the truth. And yeah. I respect the truth whenever it's spoken. And well, Calvin Elfring, I respect it. No point wishy-washy and around it. It was unacceptable, massively. Well,
what I had said to
and
you
I
the other day.
Calvin Elfring for Senate.
100%. I can't argue with him at all. And what I had talked to you about the other day was the Belfast Giants identity. And at the minute, we've just lost a wee bit, because all the teams that have been really successful for us are built on that blue collar, crash, bang, wallop, you know, 100 mile an hour hockey.
The mixed physical, in with the finesse.
Mixed in with top goal scorers. We have had boys that have speed score. And I have no doubt that Steve will build a team of speed merchants next season. You know, he has in the path the Dennis, it's the Martins. We've talked about it on podcast over the last few weeks. We don't need to go over it again. He'll build those big D-men and you know, with speed, because we play that we've lost our transition game a bit. We have lost we've lost a bit of our identity. And I think that as much I've talked about it for weeks, confidence, I think when the confidence is low, and you know yourself, you're a sporting guy, when confidence is low, losing is a habit, and it's just as hard to break that habit, and we are just in that losing habit at the minute. Like the guys, I have absolutely no doubt, are absolutely dying about this. It's killing them. But, you know, we are where we're at, and it's just so frustrating, so disappointing, so depressing.
You see, Saturday night, I can take it. I think most fans can take a defeat that we saw on Saturday night, because it was a good game of hockey. Sisney must have said it 10 times, 15 times throughout. It was a good game of hockey. I enjoyed it. It was fast. It was physical. were we playing anywhere near to our overall capabilities looking down our roster? No. But, you know, we were starting to kind of get there, and we created opportunities, and it was a great crowd and great atmosphere. Top-notch work by Bobby, by James, by Mark, and getting that arena packed out. Super.
Brilliant.
Top-notch. Brilliant work by the guys in the back room. But Sunday, you follow it up 24 hours later, and I mean, it just leaves a huge sour taste, and it leads you to question a lot of things. And I can understand why fans who pay their money week in, week out, ask a lot of questions on the back of it, because it really was, as Calvin Elfring said, embarrassing.
But one other thing there, just before you jump in there, Paddy, you know, to come back to your Saturday-Sunday split, you know, Saturday night, you know, you could have Ray, Sawada, Chevy, Shields, Peacock. You know, you could have had your choice of man of the match. You would have had, you know, it was probably quite a difficult decision as to who was going to get man of the match. Although I thought Sawada was, I don't know who did get it, actually.
Craig Peacock, I think.
Craig Peacock.
Sawada should have got it.
Yeah.
You know, I thought Ray Sawada was excellent, sorry. But the point being there, you know, you could have had a debate on Saturday night in the bar afterwards as to who should have got man of the match, and pros and cons for why maybe half a dozen people. And I think you talked about it actually on Sunday. You do well to pick a man of the match on Sunday.
Yeah, but Sizz asked me that question. He says, you know what? He said, can you think of one player that we can pick out here as a Giants man of the match? I said, no, I can't. He says, nor can I. And you're right. Normally at the end of the webcast, there's three or four that we're kind of discussing, and we just could not do it on Sunday at all.
Broke my heart, boys. No way, easy way of putting it.
You were mad, mate, on Sunday night.
I was, like, I had to go straight to the airport afterwards, and I had to have a pint or something to calm myself down. Of course, then our good friend Aaron Lord turned up in the airport just with a big smug grin on his face and made it even worse. But
should have punched him out.
The thing is, like, you know how much respect I have for Steve, you know, and how glad I was that he came back and all this. Mm-hmm. But even I, as you say, just to come back to that, of the lines with regards to McCutcheon, Sawada, Robinson, and I thought that was it. I thought, there we go, there's our line. There's a scoring line who are playing a good transitional game, bit of fluency between their passing, and they're finding the net. And they did it against the Sheffield Steelers, so let's see what they can do against the Nottingham Panthers. And he changed it. And then he changed it again going into Sunday. And I'm thinking, oh, what are you doing? I don't understand what you're doing. I can't see why you're making these changes. Obviously, there's something in training you must be seeing, or there's a reason why, you know, maybe a player isn't up to playing the two games in a row. But even then, McCutcheon went out for the warm-up. Like you said, coach, those players were there. Why aren't we playing that? We need those consistent lines. We need that consistent chemistry. All these things that people have been saying to me over the last couple of weeks, and I've been going, nah, well, you know, I started to go, you know what? Sometimes I'm lacking in understanding here as to why these are all being changed up, and I'm starting to buy into a little bit of, you know, come on, Steve, let's settle this down a bit. I will also say that another bit of concern is the fact that Chewback played both games. I was hoping to see Steve Murphy at some point.
I would like to have seen Steve Thornton.
I'd like to have seen Steve Thornton. We'll get out there as well. But
absolutely.
Without Stephen Murphy there, like, we don't know. There's obviously a reason why Stephen Murphy's not there, and it's obviously not a good one, because I think he would have started at least one of those games, if not both of them. So, and we've seen when Stephen Murphy is in nets, and, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Chewback, but when we saw Stephen Murphy in goal last week against the Sheffield Steelers, we saw Calvin Elfring pinching more. We saw maybe more of a transitional game. We saw a feed going through to those forward lines that we didn't see this weekend, and this weekend we needed that, because the Nottingham Panthers have shown over the course of the season that when it comes to a quick transitional game, they're vulnerable. They have been vulnerable all season, and we weren't able to provide that, and that was really, really frustrating. What I will ask as well, on a little bit of a side note, and I will put a caveat, right, there is no blame being put on the referees here, but sometimes, like, and you pointed it out on the webcast, coach, we saw a hit go in from Westgarth, which was a nice clean hit, but Hogarth and Thompson both, you know, it was called and he was sent to the bin for elbows, and one of the most ridiculous calls. And it shows that we do give Westgarth a lot of grief for not throwing a hit, but sometimes you kind of understand why he doesn't.
I've been on Westgarth's back, as I think all three of us unanimously have been, to do with his lack of physical play since he arrived. But I do have an element of sympathy from four or five occasions that I have seen Westgarth laying the body and all of a sudden getting put in the box for 2 minutes for either for roughing or for a ridiculous call from Hogarth on was it Sunday for elbows, or Thompson was it, for elbows. I mean, absolutely absurd. And it goes back to, I think it was Davey mentioned this last year, the big guy on the smaller guy type penalty. I mean, I have sympathy with Westgarth, and I think it comes down again to poor officiating. See, if Tom Darnell was a referee in that game, that's a good hit, and we play on. I mean, the hit went in, Paddy, on Sam Oakford, not 100% sure. But no complaints from him whatsoever. He got up and was skating off, but I mean, whoever it was with Hogarth or Thompson, straight in. I mean, and as I say, if Tom Darnell, or even dare I say it, no, I'm not going to say it, I was going to say Hicksy, he probably would have called that, in fairness. It just, you know, so I feel for the big guy, and I mean, in some ways, it's a more broader discussion to have about hockey in general. And is it just getting that bit softer? Are we getting away from this total physical game that we all fell in love with? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that's maybe a discussion for another day. So there is an element of me definitely that has some sympathy for Westgarth, because he must be double doubting himself every time that he's out there. You know, so if I go on the rampage here, I'm going to cost my team. You know, how often has Steve Thornton talked about, you know, our penalty kill hasn't been great this season. Special teams are so important. You do not want to give the opposition those power play opportunities. And Big Westgarth goes out like a wrecking ball. Okay, if Darnell's in time, might be okay, because Westgarth's a good, clean hitter. But with too many of the referees, it's costing us, and sending them to the box too often.
One of the things I took from the end of that game as well was the fifth goal. Davey, like, it sort of summed up the season for me. You had on the left-hand side Ray Solata with a bit of open ice and all of the goal to aim at. Okay, Matas Modic playing in the centre of it. But he more or less had the time and space to pick his shot. And as coach said earlier on, high and wide, it rebounds off the glass, it goes up the other end, a wild sticks it in the back of the net without much stopping him. And I think at that point I was just ready to walk out. I didn't walk out, but at that point I just thought, oh my goodness, what more can we do? And it's symptomatic of the Jan season.
Yeah, there's not, that was just pretty well described and pretty well articulated as how you felt, how I felt, how probably a good few hundred Giants fans that care passionately felt. And what can you say about it, Paddy?
Not much, mate.
Go on, David.
To go back on the Hogarth thing, I am going to go through the game sheets here and see how many games we've had Hogarth this season, because there's two ways to look at it. Our players should be learning by now how the ref's going to play you, and you have to learn how to play the ref. Kevin Westgarth is technically a very good skater, very good hitter. You know, he's played hockey at the highest level. He does all the little things. He passes the puck very well. You know, does all the little things very well. They are good, clean. He's been called a good few times now for good hits. What was it, the game the other week? Remember, did he even get us, you know, nonsense calls. Hogarth is not up to standard at the minute. The referees have to improve their game. We can't have a game without them, so you have to appreciate that they're there and they have to be valued. But, you know, I can understand why people lose a lot of frustration, myself very much included, with bad, bad calls. Westgarth, I think Coach said it earlier in the season as well, complete pro. When he's called for that, he's looking at them quizzically on the way to the box, going, guys, come on here now. But it's as clean as a whistle. That hit Sam Oakford, as you say, who had a fantastic weekend, a real prospect for the future, that kid. You know, but just, you know, I'm digressing here because I just don't want to talk about
the game anymore. I will say that with regards to the Hogarth as well, is he refereed, I believe, the Challenge Cup final in the EPL between the Manchester Phoenix and the Telford Tigers. And from what I see from the Phoenix fans, is they didn't even think much of his performance in the EPL in one of the top games of the season. So you start to wonder, you know, he's been doing quite a bit at elite league level, and when he drops down to the EPL, even they get annoyed. So you question the guy's standard.
I think we've just questioned the refereeing standard throughout the course of this season. Paddy, I think it's something that has more than likely been discussed at elite league level as well. Mm-hmm. And as I said to you right back at Christmas time, you know, from chatting to a couple of the officials, you know, I think they would be the first to say we need more help, support and guidance. for better training for them to become better on ice officials. And the complete inconsistency in a lot of these calls is quite frankly startling. And you know, I can see, like, I looked down at one stage, I think I was on the game highlights, looked down at Steve, and, you know, he's just standing there with his hands in the air, you know, remonstrating, going, you've got to be kidding me here, guys. I mean, I'm sure the many other coaches feel exactly the same on any given night with the officials. And listen, that's always going to be the case. You see it in every single football match or rugby match. I mean, I see all these clips flying around of Wayne Barnes from Ireland versus Wales last weekend, you know, conspiracy theories, the refs had cheated.
Those videos are hilarious. They don't show anything about just calls on Ireland or calls on Wales. They're very one-sided. It's hilarious.
Yes, very one-sided. So, I mean, it's the old argument, isn't it? The refs against us. But it has to be said, and I think it's universal across the Elite League where everybody, coaches, ownership, GMs, the whole shit and caboodle, players will all say the refereeing needs to improve.
On that note, gents, I think we can move on from the weekend. I will say that we will draw a positive from the fact that I think that, as you said earlier on, Coach, a credit to the guys behind the scenes that you know, with let's say the two teams that weren't really playing for much. Okay, yeah, the Earhart Conference is there, but not really a title matchup, and for that many people to come into the Odyssey Arena on Saturday night is a real credit to the organisation. And I believe that this weekend, which we're talking about the Coventry game coming up, it's we're expecting more of the same.
Yeah, just literally before we came on air, I was chatting to the marketing manager, Mr. Mark Brooks, and who alongside James and Bobby have done a remarkable job behind the scenes. And you know, we've seen our crowds rise and rise again this season, which you know many would argue is a superb job given the results. I mean, it just as we've said, just hasn't gone our way. Whatever, 7 wins from the last 24 games since the turn of the year. I mean, and the guys have done a fantastic job in packing out that barn last weekend or last Saturday evening. And yeah, the East here is back in again for this Friday, and Brooksy and the guys are hoping for another sellout or as close to it.
I've never been in the East, Davey. Have you been?
Yes, sure. Missed that. I missed that completely, Paddy. That sounds softness. Yes, we've been in the East tier a few times together. I remember specifically the last time we were in the East tier together, not in Panthers fan, was going to put your head off at one stage, but we managed to smooth that Sydney East.
Well, listen, the highlights, in inverted commas, from the weekend are available from our good friends at Giants Live TV. Let's move ahead. Sort of talk about something a bit more upbeat, Davey. You had a chance to chat with Dave Sims earlier today.
I did indeed, Simsy. The chubby Brummy, as we would been calling him for a long time, is off doing a four-day walk for to raise money for the Western Park Cancer Charity. Young Steelers fan Amy Usher suffering with cancer, and Simsy's put himself through the mill of late, you know, getting himself fit, and I think this is the end of his first day. He's feeling it, and we've been able to raise a few quid and send it his way, and I got a chat to him just as he was about to sit down to his dinner earlier on.
Joining us at the end of day one of his challenge is Dave Sims. And Simsy, unless you've been living on Mars, you'll have heard about the challenge you're doing and the reasons for it. But just for those that haven't heard, just what's the reasons behind the challenge you're doing?
Well, a couple of reasons, Davey. Firstly, for Amy Usher, who I think every hockey fan now knows, who actually only 12 or 13, 14 months ago became a Sheffield Steelers fan on a free ticket that we gave Western Park Hospital, and poor old Amy was suffering. She's got cancer, and she's under the teenage cancer unit, even though she's 22 just now. She's a great kid, gorgeous girl, beautiful family, but she's terminally ill, and she's become addictive to pretty much everybody in Sheffield and actually pretty much everybody in hockey now. And we've done lots of things with her, for her. She's done more things for us than we have for her. We're certainly better people for knowing her than she is for knowing us. But we thought we've got to do something for Western Park, because we went up there, and call me naive, Davey, I'm in the fortunate enough position that I never knew that hospitals had teenage cancer wards. and when I went up there, it was both one of the most inspiring things I've ever seen, and also one of the most horrible things I've ever seen, to see many kids in poorly conditions. So one night we were playing a doubleheader at home at the arena, and I ran up to the White House where I announced from, and I was completely exhausted, absolutely exhausted. And I was fat, I was overweight, everybody knows I'm a KFC freak. So the next morning in the shower, I came up with the idea that selfishly I'd got to lose some weight, and what better way than having a target? So why not walk the route that I've taken for the last 25 years from Birmingham to the arena, you know, when I do it 2-3 times a week in the car, but could I walk it? So we worked the route out. I found a couple of gullible mates who work for the Steelers, Elliot Hall and Neil Edwards, and we've got an 83-mile walk planned. And we're at the end of day one, and we're at about £13,500, much of that down to your very good selves in Belfast and the work that you've done with the Colin Shield shirt. But I won't lie to you, Davey. I'm in absolute agony. I've done 3 months at the gym, and I've done as much as a fat 50-year-old bloke can do. I knew I was undercooked. I didn't realise how undercooked I was. Nikki Sherlock, who's the Coventry Blaze physio, she's very kindly driven half an hour up the road, and she's worked on the three of us tonight. And she's got me back. She's got me back walking. But I won't lie to you. I'm in an absolute bad way, and I knew it was going to be difficult, but I didn't think it was going to be quite this difficult. I feel now after day one how I thought I would feel after day three.
Well, it's effectively you're killing me here. It's effectively three marathons in 3 days you're doing, and you have done a fair amount of training because we've been following you on Twitter. So question is this going to be a lifestyle change, or is this just your sporting swan song now?
I'd like to answer that question by saying this will be a lifestyle change. I'm going to eat healthily, I'm going to have salads, and I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week. But I can tell you, if we make it to the Sheffield Arena on Saturday, right opposite the Sheffield Arena is Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I'm eating as much of that stuff as I can on Saturday when I get there.
Well, there was...
But the thing is, I think we'll be just too tired to do any of that. I'd like to think it was a lifestyle change. You know, I've lost 2 stone in weight. I look better for it. I don't feel better at the moment because I feel just completely achy. I've ached for the last 3 months. but it's all for a good cause, isn't it? You know, like everybody in hockey's got behind this cause. And when you have a look down the Just Giving page, you know, it's people in Cardiff, people in Brayhead, people in every single rink. You know, the people in Belfast, we've had loads, dozens and dozens of bids of donations from people in Belfast. And then your great raffle as well, which has been fantastic. I was in Cardiff the other night. People are giving me £10 notes. When I walk around Sheffield, when I do the 50-50 sales down there, people are giving me money, and it's been incredible. Everybody's been so kind. I just hope now, you know, what with all the publicity we've had for it, we've just got to somehow find a way of getting us to the end. Whether we go, the original plan was to go 25, 25, 25 and about 6. I've got a feeling now we may go 25, which we've done, 20, 20, and then maybe 12 or 13 on the Saturday. I think we might have to reassess how we feel at some point tomorrow, because right now I don't think we could walk 100 yards. Well, I certainly couldn't walk much more than a couple of 100 yards as I speak to you at, what is it, 8 after 6.
Well, you had a target. Obviously, I think it was about £10,000. You've smashed through that. What's the? You must be very, very proud, first of all. But also, you've talked about the involvement of the whole hockey family there. But the biggest concern is there was a threat if you got to a certain level, you'd be doing a lap of the arena in a set of speedos. Surely it hasn't come to that.
Well, actually, we've gone past that amount, and I won't chicken out of that. But we've got a couple of issues. We ordered the orange speedos about 5 or 6 days ago, and they haven't turned up yet, so they've only got a day to turn up. Whether I will be in Nottingham on Friday or not, I don't know. But if I am, I'll be doing something daft and stupid, no wonder. And you know what? Despite the rivalry, I have to tell you, the first person who donated was the Nottingham Panthers. Gary Morango, the checkout from the Panthers organisation for £100, and that was the first donation that we had. Neil Black, the owner of the Panthers, I think he made a donation of £250. Simon there threw a big donation in as well. The Panthers players, I turned up a couple of games ago, and Robert Farmer came and caught up with me and said, since he is an envelope. And I got there, you know, there's money in the envelope, and, you know, substantial amount of money as well that the Panthers players did. So, of course, Farmer's an ex-Steeler, so he's got some good qualities inside him. And they did that. And we've had it from every club. Everybody's been very kind because it's for a good cause. And I know I upset a lot of people and get to, you know, ruffle a few feathers. But people have been very generous, I think, because the cause has been so worthwhile.
Well, Dave, I'll let you get back. I know you've got food sitting on the table there that you want to get to, but obviously we spoke before we came on the recording here that we have transferred the £650 that the guys from A View from the Bridge we've raised for you.
Fantastic, David. That's fabulous.
Quick message for the Belfast fans.
David, there's plenty of fantastic charities in Belfast, I know, and for you to get behind this one in the way that you have done is has been brilliant on the webcast and all different things. So thank you. Can't thank you enough. And anybody who's listening to this who bought raffle ticket or donated, it's a life-changing little experience we're going through here, and it's won't make me any softer, but it'll be. It's just incredible what we can do. I wish we didn't have to do it in this day and age. You shouldn't have to do these things. You know, this should be supplied by government, but we do, and we do to try and make, if not Amy's life any better, because I think the treatment that's, you know, we'll probably be paying for will go to help others down the line in that teenage cancer unit. But it's just not fair, is it, when teenage kids get cancer? It's just wrong, you know.
Yeah. Well, Dave, we wish you all the best for the next few days. Obviously, we're going to catch up with you in Nottingham at playoff finals to do the draw for the Colin Shields shirt. But hopefully your feet are in one piece when we get to see you. But thanks very much for your time.
You're a top man, Danny. Thank you, mate.
All the best. Cheers.
Thanks again to Dave for chat. Good luck to him for the final few days. Davey, we've done pretty well with collecting for that shirt, and the money's been rolling in.
Paddy, when it first started, there was a bit of a panic. I remember talking to the Colin Shields about a week in, and we'd raised a quid. And it was like, oh, I hope this takes off. And we ended up, you know, rounded it up there today to £650. And, you know, that's a big deal, considering that we're just three guys that talk about the game. You know, the Belfast Giants fans from all around the league have chipped in for this. And, you know, it's credit to the hockey family, as they're called. You know, Tom Simpson's fund. There's another wee fund going for a girl called Ella. There's all different wee things going on around the league that you'll probably never hear about, and hockey fans are always sticking their hands in their pockets to help out the other hockey fans, and it's great that we're in the position to help. We're really too happy to help when we can, and we're in a fortunate position that we're able to, and kudos to everyone that stuck their hand in their pocket. All we did was filter the money down to where it needed to go, so thanks to everyone who paid up.
And the draw will be made a playoff weekend.
Playoff weekend, yes, Simsy. We obviously couldn't go up. It was a bit far for us to go today. And Simsy has said he'll do it on the playoff weekend. So we'll probably try and get that on a video and get it up for you. And hopefully somebody will be happy that they've won the Shields jersey.
No doubt. Well, guys, let's move ahead. The Belfast Giants might not be in a title race, but a number of other teams are. It's looking like it's going to be one of the closest title races between three teams since that 2011 season between Sheffield, Cardiff and Belfast at that time. This time, unfortunately, not Belfast involved, but Brayhead and those other two teams. However, bit of a change at the top. Sheffield's at the top of the Elite League with one weekend to go in the season, displacing the Clan, who at one point looked to be unassailable in that position. But with Clan losing to Sheffield and to Nottingham, and then last weekend away to Edinburgh, means that the final weekend of the Elite League season, we have a three-way shootout between the Steelers, the Clan and the Devils. The Devils now sit second on merely regulation wins, having taken a win tonight at home to Edinburgh. And coach, listen, while the Giants may not be involved in it, those fans are going to be, everybody, well, most people are going to be glued as to how those games are going to go.
Yeah, very much so. It's been the most exciting end to an Elite League season that I can remember. It has been it's been superb and has generated a lot of interest, so much so that the Nottingham Panthers have finally,
unbelievable,
2015 launched their first ever webcast. Welcome to the real world, guys. You see all the fans from around the league. You know, it's generated a lot of interest, and I think it's a great thing for Elite League ice hockey. I mean, we ran out winners last year, and do not get me wrong, if it could happen to us every single year, I would let it happen to us every year, whenever we want it, at the end of January, start of February last year. But for the league in general terms to go right down to the wire like this, I mean, it's absolutely superb, and it's going to be interesting to see how the cookie crumbles come Sunday evening, Paddy?
Those games over the weekend involving the title contender start on Friday. Nottingham against Sheffield in Nottingham. As Coach has pointed out, we've got a webcast at last. No doubt Gary Moran will be all over that with his commentary. On Saturday night, Cardiff against Sheffield, in between two title contenders going against each other. I think that's going to decide which one drops out, really. You got Brayhead against Hull at home up in the shopping centre, while on Sunday, Fife host the Clan in what's going to be a difficult game, because Fife will not want to see the Clan win and possibly lift the title in their barn, while Cardiff host the Nottingham Panthers, who themselves are up for a conference title. Davey, it's pretty intricate, but it's going to be very interesting.
It is indeed. I believe if Nottingham beat Sheffield on Friday night, that they take the conference, so really they have nothing to play for then on Sunday in Cardiff. So there's a lot of permutations there. You know, Edinburgh right now, so Hull and Fife have both qualified for the playoffs, so have Hull and Fife anything other than, you know, pride to play for? There's a lot of permutations. I wish we were involved. I'm sorry I can't seem, you know, more enthusiastic about it, because I'm a Belfast Giants fan first and foremost before I'm a hockey fan, if that makes sense. You know, I love the game and all, but I love my team more, and I just can't get any sort of juice flowing for this at all. You know, if I had to pick somebody, I would rather Brayhead won it than Sheffield, because we'll never hear the end of it on social media. And, you know, if Cardiff win it, I'm sure the smuggest man in South Wales will never let anyone forget about it. So it's one of those things. It's going to be an exciting weekend for those fans. I'm just more interested to see who's going to finish fourth in this shake-up, to see who we're playing and start focus on that for the following weekend.
I have to say, I've been trying to build it all up. I couldn't care less. I'm just too depressed about the weekend and where we're sitting when I try to talk up about the actual title race. When I try to build it up and go, oh, it's really exciting. I'm sure it's really exciting for those fans. I'm just like, nah, I'll just watch our Coventry game and see it. But anyway, as you say, it is interesting in regards to who the Giants might play, because it is going to fall to that fourth place. But that's also going to be shaken up by the fact that whether Nottingham win the conference, Coach, and that's something that we'll hear nothing at the end of if they win on Friday night.
Yeah, it must be a difficult one for Thorpe, I suppose, and the guys behind the scenes, because we don't know who we're actually going to play, and we're not sure what night that we're actually going to play. I mean, the Giants haven't been able to release the playoff quarterfinal date as yet, you know, and it looks like we're either going to get Sheffield, Cardiff or the Panthers in the playoffs, and we're going to have to wait until Sunday evening to actually find out who we're going to be playing. So that's not ideal from a marketing/commercial perspective for the Belfast Giants. And you know, heading into this weekend, listen, it's exciting as a hockey fan. It's exciting, but I'm with you two guys. I mean, good luck to whoever wins it in the end. My team are languishing down in fifth position and not playing great hockey at present, and my concerns more lie with my own team than to do with anybody else's.
On those permutations, it's difficult to say. If the Brayhead Clan win the league, they will be number one seeds, and as they're the conference winners, then they hold that, with Nottingham being the second seed. Then Sheffield and Cardiff will be third and fourth seed, depending on where they finish up in the final league table. If Cardiff or Sheffield win the league, then Brayhead becomes second seeds, with Nottingham being third seeds, and then whoever between those two doesn't win the league plays the Belfast Giants. I guess we just have to wait till Sunday that we find out, because there's too many permutations.
So at the minute, it's either Sheffield, Cardiff, or Nottingham?
Yes.
No, it's definitely one of those three.
It's definitely one of those three. Definitely one of those three.
No, it's one of those three.
Right, well, moving on, gents. Guys, let's wrap up by quickly looking ahead to this weekend. The final two games of the regular season for the Belfast Giants. First up, the Coventry Blaze at the Odyssey Arena on Friday at 7 p.m. Really one of the informed teams of the Elite League. They won tonight in what looks like a barnstorming 0-0 draw in Hull that went all the way to a shootout that the Coventry Blaze won. I'm glad I wasn't at that game. But Chuck Webber's done a fantastic job at the Coventry Blaze. They've won 7 of the last 10 games. They've been really well organised defensively, not conceding as badly as they did. Didn't concede any tonight. Stewart playing really well, coaching with a big crowd expected. The Giants really need to have to pick themselves up from that game against Nottingham and put their performances in, because if they don't, you know, the crowd are going to leave unhappy.
Oh, absolutely, no question about that, Paddy. I mean, I saw your stuff on the agenda there. 7 wins from their last 10 games, and I had a wee look at some of the Coventry stats there, and they were none too impressive. A couple of months back, that is for sure. They were in desperate, dire straits. Chuck Webber has come in; he's done an excellent job, and I was looking there at Ryan O'Mara, I mean, former NHLer, and that guy is a quality hockey player, and he's just tipped over the 50 points mark so far. And you talk there about Brian Stewart; he has been, for me, yeah, Kyle Jones and Brayhead has 9 shutouts. He's been excellent in goal this season, and has given the Brayhead clan this chance of picking up an Elite League championship. But for me, Brian Stewart, I mean, he has saved the most. He has faced the most rubber, well over 2,000 shots this season. I mean, the next closest to him is Thomas Hudlowski on 1,700. I mean, Brian Stewart has kept the Blaze in with a sniff this season, and he's been top drawer. And yeah, Webber has been excellent. And I mean, it might, this move by the Coventry Blaze, and I know he came in as a favour to Paul Thompson, but this might just spark a few other clubs to start, whenever they're looking for a new coach or whatever, might just spark them into life to look outside of the bubble that is the EIHL, the old boys club, for want of a better term, because Chuck Webber has brought a completely new identity to the Coventry Blaze. It was a team that looked, on paper, a good team, but out on the ice, it looked devoid of ideas. It looked totally lost, totally devoid of structure. And you look at them now, he has got them playing good hockey, disciplined hockey. He's got Jeremy Tendler starting to kind of go more recently. So, you know, I think Steve Thornton said it, or I saw it maybe somewhere last week. Nobody wants to kind of come up against the Coventry Blaze in the playoffs. So they're on a bit of fire. So we need to finish out our regular season well here at the Odyssey on Friday night.
Davey, like I say, this is going to be a real challenge for the Belfast Giants with this team coming in. They're on a hell of a drive, and a lot of people are actually tipping them for the playoffs.
They'll take a lot of stopping at the minute. You know, they're a funny team, the Blaze. They can still turn up an absolutely bomb, but you know, they've got good goaltending, as coaches said. You know, they're well organised at the back end, and they've got goals in them on any night. It's going to be a real battle for us. We need to score goals. We need to score early. We need to come out like we did in the first period against Nottingham and hope that we get something behind Stewart quick. You know, that's going to be the key to the game for me. This is the first goal is very, very crucial on Friday night. And all we can do at this stage is hope. Isn't that one of the 7 stages of grief? Grief was hope and looking forward. All you can do is hope that this team that we know is packed full of quality can come out and get some of that quality displayed and get into the lead and then hold that lead.
Well, that game is on Friday night at 7 p.m. The tickets are selling fast. It's expected to be, these tiers out, expected to be another big crowd. So if you haven't got a ticket, you may hurry up and get one, because if you don't get one, you'll have to watch Sis and Coach do it on Giants Live TV. And nobody really wants
pardon?
That. Sorry, commentate. Did I say do it?
I can absolutely assure you that will not be the case.
They commentate on the game, and well, you know what?
Yeah, and I want to say, if you're getting Giants Live, make sure and tune in early, because they're doing a bit of a pre-game.
Yes.
Now, well, very good addition, and those interviews in the period breaks are very good, especially when the guys see the glare off your head was something to behold. But really, really, seriously, really good. really good additions to the webcast. So if you're getting it at home, that doesn't sound good. If you're watching at home, make sure and tune in 10 minutes early.
Yep. Or don't tune in if the other things happen. All right, look, guys, let's move on. Because the final game of the regular season takes place away from home over in Kirkcaldy, when the Belfast Giants take on the Fife Flyers at 7:15 p.m. on Saturday night. Probably Fife are now safely within the playoffs. They've won 4 out of the last 10. They've got their usual suspects up front, you know, like so Lukasiewicz and Bobby
Shamon.
There it is.
Sorry.
Okay. Davey, well, I think we're already cemented in fifth, but it's about momentum. Go on.
it's I'm not sure that Hull and Fife are too worried about swapping positions, because the permutations at the top mean that, you know, they've got no control. It's not like Hull can go out and say, you know, if we win, we know we're going to get Cardiff. There's so much can happen at the top of the table too. But like, Fife are no mugs in their own barn, you know, but they've got the Bray Head game as well then coming up the following night. Is that right? They play Bray Head the night after us? Yeah, we're playing on Saturday. So, you know, will they want to be keeping more in the tank for that? It's very true. Who knows? It could be it's a dead rubber for them, effectively. It's another one that I'm getting. It's hard to get up for. That bus trip of hardy Giants fans, you know, more part of our elbow that they're going to get on a bus and drive that distance and to support the team for the last regular season game. And, you know, I hope we win. That's about, you know, hope again.
Coach?
Yeah, much of a muchness, really. You know, I think it's, of course, it's important that we try and pick up a couple of victories this weekend and try and play good hockey, get our lines settled, all the things that we've talked about extensively for quite a long period of time. And, try and get a bit of momentum and leading into the playoff series, whatever, you know, a couple of games that we're going to have the following weekend, and in the hope that we can get to Nottingham, and in the hope that we can get past that semi-final stage, and in the hope that we pick up a playoff final victory. It seems like a long way away to us at the minute, given what we've seen. But you know what? Davey's right. Hope is a wonderful thing. And once this kind of bit of depression from last weekend lifts, hope is the only thing that you can kind of cling on to. And why not? That's why we love this club and we love our team, and we do believe in our team. We see the quality on our side. We've said it all season long. The quality is there. Surely it has to start clicking at some stage, but we're properly running out of time here.
Well, for me, lads, we've been critical across the season. We've talked about the games. I don't think at times we've been unfairly critical, but we've also pumped the tires. The Giants fans have turned out en masse for quite a few occasions, both home and away this season, and they've never let their support for this team fade, not at one spot. At this moment in time, it now lies in the hands of the players. They're the guys that have to show up. They're the guys that have to show that the fact that we are turning up in Fife, that we are turning up in great numbers in Belfast, that we are turning up in Coventry, that we are travelling to Nottingham, that, you know, that it's being respected, and the fact that these guys have to step up and show and give us something to cheer about, because there was very little to cheer about on Sunday. It's brought in the fact that, yes, we're depressed because we put so much faith into this team. We put so much emotion into this team. And when it doesn't come back at you from the ice, then you start to doubt your own emotion. You start to doubt your own faith in the team, but it never wavers. You still go out. You still support your side. And the fact is that these guys will climb on a bus, and the fans will climb on a bus, and they will go to Fife, and they will support their team. And then next weekend, when it comes to the playoffs, we'll turn out again and we'll support our team. But it's now in the hands of those players, those lads that I think it was put to me brilliantly by, I can't remember if it was on Facebook or on Twitter by a good friend, Sarah McFarlane.
Perfect.
It's the fact that, you know, we don't wear these guys' shirts, they wear ours. And that's the truth of the matter. And this is our team, and we want to see them succeed, and we'll support them until there is no team. God forbid that ever happens. But when it comes to these games this weekend, it comes to the fight now. We want to see some fight, and I hope we see it this weekend. The webcast is live from 24/7, and I don't know about you boys, but I want to get that optimism back.
100%, mate. 100%. I mean, if anybody, and I mean literally anybody, thinks that the three of us get any form of enjoyment out of sitting here, I'm sitting in my study, you're sitting in your study, Davey's sitting in his study. I mean, get any form of enjoyment at, what, 11:15 on a Wednesday evening, sitting talking about a really disappointing season to date, a really disappointing previous weekend. Catch yourselves on. This is our team. We care passionately about it. When you dissect what we've seen, I mean, you have to be upfront and honest. It simply hasn't been good enough. Steve Thorne has said it on numerous occasions. Other people, other fans have been very critical of numerous things. But we, the team, I think you encapsulated it perfect there, Paddy, in terms of it's got to come back at us. The people who are up in the stands, it's got to come back out from the ice. And it's because the fans have turned up en masse. The fans have been there. The fans have support. Yes, the fans have been critical. They've every right to be. It hasn't been good enough. But we've got to start seeing something back here in these final, what have we got left, 2.5 weeks of this season? Here's hoping and here's literally praying that we do. Because we do have the team that can go and pick up this playoff trophy in Nottingham.
Davey, any final thoughts?
I was watching, was it Grey's Anatomy? There with my wife. Last week or the week before, you're on there, weren't going here, aren't you?
Yeah.
And someone said it, hope's the only thing stronger than fear. There's nothing to fear for our boys now. We're in the situation we're in this weekend. Take the shackles off. Just go and play hockey. Go and play your offensive game. Don't worry about what's going to happen at the back end. You know, just let's go. Try and get some goals. Let's not be scared. Let's go out and be the Belfast Giants. Let's get our identity back. Let's know. Let the other teams know that coming into the playoffs that you'll not want to be facing us, because we've said it already tonight, two or three occasions, that the three of us, this is a good team, and that we're a good hockey club, well-supported hockey club, and every fan in that building will go to the end with this team, myself included. And, you know, we support this team, they need to support us too, and let's just hope that fear doesn't get in the way and that we go out and do a bit of damage the weekend.
Hear, hear. And it's always easy to talk in the good times. It's more difficult to talk in the bad. But, gentlemen, I appreciate your time, and I'll speak to you again next weekend.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, Paddy.